coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Tuesday, July 9th, 2024. I've got an investigative report for you. I've been working pretty much throughout the night, following up on some leads that no one's talking about. We have been subjected to one of the most evil psyops on the planet. And there are a few things I think in today's show that are going to blow your mind. We've been looking at this not in the right fashion. I hearken back to my second book that I wrote, In the Dark of Night. If you haven't seen that, if you haven't read that, it's got a 4.8, holding it a 4.8 rating on Amazon. I got a lot of feedback from people. Feedback from people who were in Wisconsin. God bless you, folks, at the conference. Actually, sold out of all of the books. In addition to book one, which is going to be re-released, and then I've got a third book in the offing that's coming very soon. But this has to do at its periphery with my second book, In the Dark of Night. The evil that's out there. And I think a lot of the main conservative broadcasters, although they recognize the evil, folks, I'm telling you, it's even worse than you can believe. And I've been following up on some leads. Actually, people on the other side of the planet, speaking with them. And I'm going to lay this out for you in a manner I don't think you've ever heard before or anyone else talk about. Perhaps if you watched the interview between Alex Jones and Mike McCormick, the stenographer for Obama and a little bit for President Trump, you will find some answers there. And I'm going to be showing you some excerpts from that interview. But I think we've been looking at this all wrong. I've got that. Also, just briefly, later this week, I'm excited to announce that I'm going to be hosting Attorney Tom Renz, on this platform. And I've got some other surprises for you. People that you would never expect, perhaps, to be on this platform, to be coming on the platform. Steve Quayle will not be on this week due to a schedule issue. So, however, boy, buckle in, because it's going to be a volatile week. And also, don't forget, this coming Sunday is going to be our rescheduled meeting of our interactive meeting with our supporters. And I've got to tell you something. I'm going to lay out some additional evidence of what I'm going to be talking about today during that meeting. So don't miss that. Before I get started, I want to thank our sponsors. And also, if you haven't been introduced to this product, my goodness, what a great product this is. Something so simple to me that will save you money. And I like saving money. Folks, commit this to memory. Write it down. Or just go look in the program description box of Hagman or on Rumble, Brighteon, also on HagmanPI.com. But don'twastepower.com. Now, this has saved us a lot of money. I'm telling you right now, it saved us, when I say a lot of money, anything to me into the double digits percentage-wise, You know, recent reports reveal that U.S. electricity bills have set a 10-year record high this summer. It's so bad that many households admit to keeping their houses at unsafe temperatures. they did that to lower costs, try to lower the costs. You can't run AC all the time or heat all the time using today's cost of energy. This is an imposed cost, by the way. Others say they struggle to choose between food or their electricity bill. That should never happen. So is there a solution for this? You bet there is. But all of this is because of the power companies. They want to fill their shareholders' pockets with more money. But also, much of this is the design, in my view, of the globalist agenda. But anyway, I lower my energy bills with the help of a magical little device, and I absolutely love the cost savings it gives me. Thanks to it, I can help cut down my electricity costs, beat the power companies, and keep more money in my pocket every month. It's designed to help lower costs by stopping my home and appliances from wasting unnecessary energy, reduce my electricity usage. And so it supports a consistent, safe flow of electricity throughout my house, my studio, my office, and much more, all by plugging in into one of my home or office or studio, the wall outlets. Have you seen these? Look on your screen, folks. It's a small device. Again, it plugs into your wall outlet. I have one by my circuit breaker. I've got one on the other side of my house, and I'm talking my home now. And then I've got, I actually added one, so I've got two in between. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen a savings. I've seen, double-digit percentage-wise savings since I did that. The cost savings from the first month alone proved to me that this is one of the best purchases I've made. Folks, please visit don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com, or simply click on the link in the description below to get the nation's leading way to lower energy bills up to 66% off and free express shipping plus several other bonuses with every order completely for free. I'm going to tell you what, it's a great little device. I love it. That's don'twastepower.com. Okay. So I've got a lot to get into, a lot to lay out. And I want to, again, I want to tell you, perhaps we have been thinking about this in a little, just not in the, in the proper fashion. I'm going to give you a little tease. I'm not big on teases, but to kind of lay out the, what I think perhaps we've been missing. You know, it's, you distill it down to these sound bites and video snippets of Biden stumbling and bumbling and being incoherent. And then, you know, well, hey, who's going to replace him? Will he be replaced? I mean, everyone is on edge about this. Okay. But there's something deeper and even more nefarious, I believe, to what is taking place. And if you would ask the average conservative who is in the know right now, who's controlling Biden? The obvious answer would be what? Who? Obama, right? What if we flip that script a little bit? What if Biden was not being controlled by Obama? Now, stay with me on this. Look, I know the guy is cognitively impaired. We all know that. But there is a distinct difference when you look at the videos, the snippets from 2020, even 2021 to the present. Now, granted, 2020, Biden was in his basement or in some backyard with, you know, five people in circles 6 feet apart. That was the sum total of his campaign. Yet supposedly he won the popular vote and, of course, the electoral vote. And we all accept in the conservative world, we all accept the fact that the election was rigged. But do we know the whole story? Because we have, and often repeat ad nauseum, the talking points. And it seems like everyone's on the same page. And I'm a little bit of a rebel. I don't like to be necessarily on the same page as everyone else if they are not looking deeper or elsewhere. Again, follow me on this. This is going to be kind of a deep and intense show. And the reason I mentioned my second book, In the Dark of Night, is because there are, I was going through that a little bit recently, kind of as a basis for my third book, which will be coming out, I guarantee you, in terms of the flow. Okay, it's an author thing in my head, but nonetheless. And I realized when I was going through that, you know, I don't like tidiness when you're doing an investigation. If I mean, rarely in my experience in 35 years, okay, are investigations really tidy? And when they become tidy and everything fits together really nice, I mean, believe me, it happens, but not that frequently. You have to start asking questions. Have we been led down this primrose path to make sure everything seems tidy? If it's too tidy, it's too convenient. We have to ask more questions, deeper probing questions. And that's my intent here. And really at that moment, and I believe there's some divine intervention here. Mike McCormick, who was a White House stenographer, had given an interview with Alex Jones. I think it was yesterday. It might have been the day before, and I think it was yesterday. And he also is the author of a book. You'll see the book in the video clip, The Case for Impeachment and Imprisonment of Joe Biden. But he brought a couple of points up. And this takes me back to when I lived the events of my second book, In the Dark of Night. I had the occasion to speak with a stenographer, a court stenographer. Well, more than one, but one in particular. And she was always just always around. And I would see her and we'd have conversations. And one day, I remember this vividly. She said, you know, I think I'm in a very unique position to hear and see things that others don't. And she was absolutely correct, including attorneys and investigators and others. In other words, you know, if there was a in-camera meeting between the attorneys and the judge, obviously the stenographer would be present. Or the stenographer in a court setting is almost like a wall fixture. And I'm not disparaging stenographers, but they're in a very unique position to see and hear things that a lot of people don't. More things than the attorneys, more things than spectators, of course. So they become a valuable resource of information. And you combine that with the narrative. Everyone is on board right now. Oh, Joe Biden's got to go. Well, can he go? I mean, can they, I mean, short of him saying, okay, I'm done, thanks, you know, take exit stage left, it might not be that easy. And then, of course, there's the issue of the 25th Amendment. But all of this is capturing the attention of a nation, right? I mean, that's all you hear today. Bad, extremely bad debate performance. And then every other appearance, it seems like it's magnified. His appearance, physical appearance, mobility, cognitive, obvious cognitive decline is being showcased for the American people. Now, we, of course, knew of his mental incapacity for a long time. And then, of course, the statement, you know, he's best between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., and that's when he does the work. But then, of course, the question arises, well, who's running the country from 4:01 to 9:59 the next day? And the narrative, and follow along with me, I ask, the narrative that, well, he's not running anything. Now, at this point, I agree. But at this point, I would agree. Because of the rapid cognitive decline. But what about the time when he was indeed running things? Whether he was going, I mean, you can go back to 1988, his first run for the presidency. And he was roasted, I mean, for his plagiarism of others' speeches and the lies that he was caught in. But suddenly he reemerged. And think about this reemergence as well. Look at the bigger picture. Despite being roasted, and I could play you, but I'm not going to, the videos, the news reports from 88, from his failed campaign, how embarrassing it was, where he was shown to be a liar, shown to be a really bad guy, copying speeches, even from Bobby Kennedy. Not RFK Jr., but by, I mean, it was so in your face. How did that guy, who was also a blatant racist, become reinvented, reinvigorated, and assume the highest position in America during that period of time? Did people forget? I'm sure some have. But the intelligence community doesn't forget. The people around him directly, they don't forget. The media, they'll cover, but certainly they'll try to forget. Most Americans, of course, you know, they have forgotten. But again, you go from 88, when this guy was really shamed out of running for the highest office in the land, to the election of 2020, where he got the most, and again, the narrative is the most votes in history. And again, we all know this, but when you look at the arc, almost like a story arc, but when you look at this trajectory of his career, how did he recover from that? And really, what happened between 88 and, I'm just going to say, 2020, that took him from shame, obscurity, obviously narcissistic, to this person who, from a basement, almost literally, becomes the commander-in-chief and the president over one of the most popular, if not the most popular, candidates on the planet, Donald Trump. And I'm not asking you to like anyone, back anyone. I'm just laying this out for you. Because I've developed a different theory. I've had conversations again late last night, early this morning, dialogue with people, and discussing this in greater detail. So when the interview with the stenographer with Alex Jones appeared, well, things started clicking. Now, also in his book, Mike McCormick book, his book, and again, this is a stenographer that kind of blends into the background in certain cases. That you may not, very important job, but you may not see that person. But that person is recording everything, watching, listening, in a position to know things. The interview that Alice did, I don't believe got enough views. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. And I would encourage you to watch and listen carefully to everything that's said, everything this man says. Because you may end up looking at today's events, looking at the power structure a little bit differently than you did before. And that could mean the difference between you being ahead of the curve on an information platform, information level of information, than anyone else. And could also explain some things, whether it might be that really mysterious death about that White House chef who drowned. And would also explain in part the relationships between Biden and the Clintons, between the Bidens and the Clintons, and especially between the Bidens and the Obamas. Folks, you've got to understand there is absolutely the animus between Jill Biden and Michelle Obama is just off the charts. The animus between Joe Biden and Barack Obama, again, very, very strong. Now, I'm not saying that Joe Biden, for example, is more intelligent, because, you know, there are a lot of stupid criminals out there. Okay, there really are. All it takes is some capable people and entities to aid and abet the criminal, some long-term name recognition, and some either informal or formal structure in the power circle to that would allow even someone who is not that bright, never really was, but had enough juice, enough information that could change how things play out. I'll just give you a quick example here as I'm thinking about this. Perhaps your boss is a real moron, okay? But you know your boss is having an affair with the secretary. That changes the dynamic in your office, doesn't it? Again, I'm just wanting you to think about this. I'm not saying I'm 100% right, but I ask you to look at things from a different perspective, because if everyone is on the same page, then really only one person is actually doing the thinking. One person is actually doing the analysis, and everyone is agreeing with that person. I'm asking you to look at this a little bit differently and asking you to consider, is this a possibility that what we've been seeing, we're being gamed, regardless of the facts? I mean, we're being gamed by a political structure that is inherently evil, whether it be Obama, Biden, Clinton, and even the people on the right, the rhinos. I mean, the House Freedom Caucus. You see the OK Corral kind of approach there. Okay, they're supposed to be the conservative, true conservatives, and they're just battling within, and you've got people resigning, people walking. I mean, it's. But the fact of the matter is, we're all being gamed at one level or another. So again, I ask you to open your mind as I walk you through this, or attempt to walk you through this, and then you make up your own mind. You make up your own decisions. I often quote Stephen Bannon, again, a political prisoner today, Peter Navarro, another political prisoner, along with all of the J6 gulag prisoners, which is a bunch of crap. They should have been out. We should have never let that happen, but I digress. I often quote Dan Bongino, although in some areas I don't agree. Look, I don't necessarily agree 100% with all of these people. I often quote Alex Jones as well, and many others, or use their information as pieces of information for the bigger mosaic. So you don't have to agree with everyone on every matter. Just take the information that can be verified and put the pieces together. And this is what I'm going to attempt to do today. Now, before I do that, just a couple of things I want to show you. The GOP platform was published yesterday, just really quick. Now, because people might ask, well, you hear of Joey, Potato Head here. What they stand for, obviously, but what does the GOP stand for? Now, this is politics, and it might bore you, but it's important. These are important talking points. Again, HagmanPI.com, you can find this there. So the GOP published their platform, and within the platform, and you can find the PDF again, HagmanPI.com, within the platform, they named 20 bullet points that are issues they stand for. And Eric the Tech, if we can put that on the screen, I'll just show you. That's the first page. And if you scroll down to page 4, this document reads, to make clear our commitment, we offer the American people the 2024 GOP platform to make America great again. Now, it's a forward-looking agenda that begins with the following 20 promises that we will accomplish very quickly when we win the White House and Republican majorities in the House and Senate. Okay, fair enough. We have to know what they stand for. And just very quickly going through this, number one, seal the border and stop the migrant invasion. Now, my words would differ, obviously, from theirs. But again, that's just me. And I would probably expand on a few things, but let me carry on here. Or let me continue here. Number two, carry out the largest deportation operation in American history. Amen to that. You don't belong here. We're going to escort you, not just to the door, but across the street, down the river, and from whence you came. Number three, end inflation and make America affordable again. Now, these are bullet points they don't have. None of these that I'm reading here, the explanations about how this will be accomplished are not contained in this summary. Just saying, download the document, read it for yourself, and do the research as to how they intend to accomplish this. Number four, make America the dominant energy producer in the world by far. Look, we're sitting, we're standing, we live on some of the richest mineral and fuel on the planet. I mean, it's under our feet. Number five, stop outsourcing and turn the U.S. into a manufacturing superpower. That sounds good. Number six, large tax cuts for workers and no tax on tips. Okay, we big thing made about that. You know about that. Number seven, defend our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and our fundamental freedoms, including freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and the right to keep and bear arms. Well, J6 prisoners, Gulag prisoners, political prisoners are in prison because their rights were violated. Their freedom of speech was taken away. And, of course, they're going to pay for it by their inability to keep and bear arms because of their records and so on. So we need to fix that as well. That's my opining on this. Number eight, prevent World War III, restore peace in Europe and in the Middle East, and build a great Iron Dome missile defense shield over our entire country. All made in America. Well, damn well better be made in America. You want to outsource your defenses, as we are doing anyway right now with the computer chips to Taiwan and other countries? No, that's wrong. Number nine, and the weaponization of government against the American people. Okay, well, you know, the left and the media, they're going to say, well, that you're coming after the Democrats in this political arena here. You can't do that. That's retribution. No, it's not. It's justice. Okay, number nine, number 10, I'm sorry. Stop the migrant crime epidemic. Demolish the foreign drug cartels. Crush gang violence and lock up violent offenders. That seems pretty straightforward. Number 11, rebuild our cities, including Washington, D.C. The only problem I have with that is why? Why Washington, D.C.? Level that place. Make them safe, clean, and beautiful again. Number 12, strengthen and modernize our military, making it without question the strongest and most powerful in the world. Well, get rid of the high heels, the fishnet stockings, and the faggotry that has been embraced by the Secretary of Defense, by the Biden regime, and by this communist agenda. Maybe I would have worded it that way. I don't know, but that's me. Number 13, keep the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. Well, how about ending the Fed? But again, I'm opining, not reading here, strictly reading. Number 14, fight and protect Social Security and Medicare with no cuts, including no changes to the retirement age. We, you know, again, the Social Security, Medicare, this whole giveaway, that should have been made optional from the very beginning. Look, as an employer, I pay a share of Medicare, so or Social Security. I get this, but if this was forced on us, if you remember this particular government program being pushed on the businesses back in the 60s, Johnson's Great Society. Okay, none of this, I mean, this all should be voluntary, not required. But again, opining. Number 15, cancel the electric vehicle mandate and cut costly and burdensome regulations. Man, I agree with that. Okay, you give me a 72 split bumper Camaro or 71, and I'm a happy camper. Get rid of the electric vehicles that cost more, that don't work, that are made in China or made in other countries. The products are from China, delivered to Mexico, assembled there. Stop it. In California, you know, what are you going to do? You can't have gas lawnmowers, right? You can't have gas stoves. You can't have natural gas stoves, that is. Get rid of, I mean, this has got to be one of the craziest related to climate change and green energy. We have to get rid of all of that. Number 16, cut federal funding for any school pushing critical race theory. radical gender ideology and other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content on our children. No commentary necessary. Totally agree. 17, same thing. Keep men out of women's sports. How hard is that? It's not hard until you embrace the ideological of the perverse. And as Breitbart and I always comment on this, politics is downstream of culture. When you have culture rot, which we have to address the culture rot. And by the way, San Francisco had that gay march where you had, and forgive my vision or my description of this, but I'm not going to play the videos. You have men, nude men, in front of children in a parade area, simulating sex acts, fully erect, if you know what I mean. In front of children with the police standing by, not doing anything. Why? Because people voted, the people who are in power authorized this, and the people there voted those people in power. We need to get that rot, those evil sons of bitches, out of power by any means necessary. Those are my words, by the way. I own those words, and I stand by them. Deport pro-Hamas radicals. It's just not pro-Hamas. It's pro-Muslim. Have we forgotten who our enemy, the enemy of Christianity, that the theology and the belief system that is should be pervasive in our country, that should be superior in our country? I'm not trying to force anyone to be a Christian. You've got to accept Jesus Christ in your heart. But what I'm saying is you don't succumb voluntarily to an Islamic agenda. So deport all of those enemies, in their words, pro-Hamas radicals, and make our college campuses safe and patriotic again. Remember, Jack Cashel was in studio last week, and he talked about Salman Rushdie, who was nearly fatally stabbed at Chautauqua Institution. I mean, think about that. Man. So 19, secure our elections, which really should be further up in the list. I believe that should be probably number one. I don't know, but secure our elections, including same-day voting, voter ID, paper ballots, and proof of citizenship. In the state of Washington right now, it's I don't even know if you can vote in person on voting day. It's all by mail or absentee ballots. But again, the communist left has infiltrated the local and city and county governments and positions of within these departments, which I would add, they are the targets of the Trump administration, the upcoming Trump administration. And lastly, unite our country by bringing it to new and record levels of success, because success breeds success, and success, I believe, look, is a great unification factor. A rising tide lifts all boats. I wanted to show you that. And if you haven't seen that, again, I'll post. In fact, I'll make it a post at HagmanPI.com. But at least it shows you what this administration 2B stands for. I just want you to get that. And I thought that was very important to cover before we get into the real mess of things. As a preface to what I'm going to be talking about, here is what everyone else is focused upon and talking about. This is a Twitter or an X posting. This is the regime cover-up on Biden's decline. And if you are surprised by other people out in your universe, your, you know, your area, where people like, I had no idea. If you're surprised at that, don't be. I get so many comments of people saying, you know, I know this, or I know this, I know about that. Why are you covering this? Well, because we get new listeners, we get new viewers. There are a lot of people who don't know things, who have no idea. And thank you. I would add, thank you for being so well informed, and I mean that sincerely. But understand, other people may not be. Other people, a clip that you might have, a video clip that you might have watched 100 times, maybe your neighbor, your coworker, your friend, family, whatever, maybe they've never seen that. Why? Because people are running cover, in this instance, for the Biden regime. So we have to keep pushing out information to show people the truth, as we have been, you and I have been, for the last 3.5, 4 years. This is cut 2 in the show notes, regime cover-up on Biden's decline. It's about, I'm just only going to play a little over 2 minutes, but this is a discussion with, I think it's Laura Ingraham, I'm not sure, but this is a discussion about Biden's decline. Here it is.
Joining me now is Texas Congressman Ronny Jackson. He served as White House physician under both President Trump and President Obama. Also with me, Ari Fleischer, former White House press secretary and Fox News contributor. Congressman, I want to get right to this because I watched this in its entirety, this press conference, and she kept citing security reasons for not revealing more details about this critical question regarding the president's treatment, perhaps, or analysis of doctors for possible Parkinson's or other condition. Is there a security reason for not mentioning that?
Well, no, Laura, that's a ridiculous comment at this particular point. The cat is out of the bag. Dr. Kennard, who's a movement disorder specialist and a neurologist from Walter Reed, came to the White House. He was waved into the residence clinic, which is the clinic directly below the president's bedroom, which is specifically to treat the president and members of the first family. Unless they're saying that the people that filled out the logs are lying, then it's established that Dr. Kennard came to the White House and he came to the residence clinic at the beckoning of Dr. Kevin O'Connor, who's the president's physician. And why are we listening to this box of rocks who calls herself the press secretary talk to us about the president's medical issues? Why isn't Dr. Kevin O'Connor, who's the appointed physician to the president, standing at the podium and answering questions from the press about what is going on with the president? I would tell you at this particular point, Laura, I think it's medical malpractice if he hasn't been seen by a neurologist yet to evaluate his cognitive issues. I'm sure he has, and I'm sure he's probably being treated, and they won't bring Dr. O'Connor to the podium because they don't want us asking those questions of him, because he's going to have to admit that, yes, he's been evaluated, and most likely, yes, he's being treated for whatever cognitive issue he's got going on that's on display for the whole world at this point.
Right. Well, Ari, at some point she referenced that, well, the specialists are available for anyone at the White House. Yeah. She said that today, and I worked at the White House a long time ago. I don't remember that. I don't remember regular White House staff. I mean, you can get like for sore throat and stuff, but so we're supposed to believe that members of what the president's, you know, Marine detail are going in to get consults for Parkinson's? What is this?
Yeah, that wasn't the
Yeah,
that was not a fringe benefit I had. Maybe it got expanded under Obamacare, but that's news to me.
All right. That clip goes on for another, I believe, 5 minutes. And that is a microcosm. And follow me on this. Eric the Tech, I'm going to ask you to be the judge if I'm clear in my case here. The at issue, what you saw was Dr. Ronny Jackson, now a member of the Congress, talking about the fact that Dr. Kennard, who has, by the way, a financial donor relationship with the Bidens, with that Biden crime family, but nonetheless, the at issue here, when you look at this at face value, is Ronny Jackson is saying, look, this is a guy, neurological specialist, called in under the auspices of perhaps, and these are the talking points of the conservative media, that Joe Biden is suffering from Parkinson's, right? Is that what, Eric the Tech, is that kind of what you got out of this?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, what if we look at this a little bit differently? And by that I mean, again, I beckon back to my conversation with a good friend, a very, very knowledgeable, patriotic doctor, Dr. James, out of the Midwest, who said, you know, drugs given, certain drugs that are given to people with cognitive disabilities, the side effects mimic Parkinson's. So while everyone is presuming or accepting that, hey, maybe Joe Biden has Parkinson's, which along with the dementia, I mean, certainly they go hand in hand in certain cases. But why are we accepting merely without question that, hey, Joe Biden could have Parkinson's, when in fact this doctor may have been summoned, Dr. Kennard may have been summoned by his personal physician, O'Connor, to deal with potential side effects of the cocktail, the Joe juice given to him to either mitigate or perhaps even further treat his cognitive decline. So do you see, by looking at this a little bit different, you can come away with different possible results? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. That was a weak yes. You okay? I mean, am I bothering you over there?
Doing good.
Okay. So, again, could there be alternate explanations? Yes. Could we? Most people walking away from that would say, maybe this doctor is treating Biden for Parkinson's. That's about as deep as you're going to get from the mainstream media and many on the conservative side. Think about that as a microcosm of the larger issue I'm about to show you. I'm telling you, I think this might explain activities coming, the current activity, well, previous activities, current activities within the inside the Beltway, and then future performance and activities. I'd be interested. I'd love for you to let me know when this program is over. Leave a comment and tell me what you think of what I'm going to attempt to lay out for you. Before I get deep into this, so without interruption, my last break here. Folks, I want you to go to easysummercool.com. Before you show that on screen, in one of my conversations late last evening, it was pretty oppressive on my patio. And I took my device, which is right here. Look how portable this is. This is like a portable air conditioner. I don't know how else to describe it. And Lady the Studio Dog and I, we were out there for a couple of hours, and we were not oppressed by the heat. This works fabulous. You know, recent forecasts, they predict that the summer of 2024 is going to be one of the hottest ever on record, with temperatures expected to soar into the triple digits in many areas. I know, I think it was somewhere in California, 124 degrees. That's hot. The Northeast, Midwest, and even parts of the Pacific Northwest are expected to experience above normal temperatures, and likely with that, above normal energy bills for households across the U.S., which is why, look, I stay cool with that magical little device. I love the cool air, the cost savings, the peace of mind it brings me. The device fills my home, my office, and even when I'm sitting on the patio. or even off the grid, with icy cold air without traditional electricity. And it, I have a, I'm holding right now, you can't see this, but a USB cord. It's a power cord. It recharges. It's amazing. It's a potential lifesaver if a blackout ever happens during one of those upcoming deadly heat waves. Now, the new versions include InstaFrost technology that uses revolutionary frost jets that get an instant blast of polar air. And I'm telling you what, even in an open space, my dog and I, Lady, the studio dog, and myself, we were very comfortable. It was fantastic. I was able to stay out quite a bit longer with that than without it. And the all you have to do, it's real simple. Just put it anywhere near you, anywhere you need to cool off and enjoy up to 25 hours of really freezing cold air from virtually anywhere. Make yourself as happy and as cool as I am this summer by visiting EasySummerCool.com. That's EasySummerCool.com, or simply click the link in the description box for up to 60% off today. Do it today. You've got a 60-day risk-free guarantee and fast shipping within the U.S. It's easy to use. It's got, you get cool air whenever you want, long-lasting, very powerful battery, lasts 6 to 25 hours. It's quiet, unbelievably quiet. And it's got battery power indicators, speed regulation. I'm telling you, man, light and portable. You can't beat it even with a stick. That is EasySummerCool.com. Just look down in the program description box below the fold there, and you'll see the link directly there. It's a neat little device. All right. So I try to lay out the case for you that maybe we're looking at this all wrong, because you ask any conservative media personality out there, who is running Biden? And they'll say Obama. 99%, right? I don't necessarily disagree that there is a relationship there, but maybe, just maybe, we're looking at it a little bit, maybe if we look at it a little bit differently, it might even make more sense to you, especially with Biden, with his obnoxious, I ain't going anywhere. And we can attribute a lot of that to Joe Biden. We can attribute it to Valerie Jarrett, you know, all the people around Biden. We can certainly attribute that attitude, that cocksuredness to those people, especially as Biden continues to decline. Okay, now that his decline has taken some time, obviously. And yes, there are certain days when the advancement, the rapid decline is excessive. My father-in-law, God bless him, having since passed away, you know, I watched it. Look, some days are better than others, but it didn't start like he didn't wake up one day and was, you know, noodles for brains. And again, with there's no disrespect intended here. It's just it happens that way. It happens, you know, slowly and over time. As a matter of fact, it allowed our family to make preparations for him. In my case, in our case. Now, the Bidens, although power hungry as they are, and wanting to cling to power, they also have that, and had, as well as have, that same ability like you and I, but they have additional resources. But I want you to take a look at this source video. In the program notes, it's going to be source video 1. And this is an interview with White House whistleblower Mike McCormick, who believes that Joe Biden blackmailed Obama with homosexuality. Before we run the first cut, think back to when Obama was a junior senator from Illinois. And we had Larry Sinclair on the program. I spoke with him. I mean, I vetted the heck out of Larry Sinclair. And I'm telling you, everything he told me was the absolute truth about how he met Obama, how he would provide oral sex. They would exchange drugs in the back of a limousine. Obama's proclivities bordering and exceeding the perverse. The leopard does not change its spots. Okay, I'm telling you. And then Larry Sinclair also intimated that, you know, there was a level of danger there, of concern for his, Larry's, welfare based on the knowledge that he had. Okay, so that was back then. But again, Larry Sinclair talking to me and us having a discussion. Now, as Obama's political career continued, think about a community organizer, really kind of a communist agent, basically, but a community organizer becoming a junior senator from Illinois. He's from Chicago. And all of a sudden, he's tapped for the Lugar Commission for the Disarmament to monitor the nuclear disarmament with Russia. Now, keep that in the back of your mind, because that comes into play here as well. Biden, at the same time, as a senator, was involved in what? Disarmament as well. I'm going to show you, give you the bottom line first, and then get into some particulars. The bottom line first is really the first 3 minutes of the interview with Alex Jones and the White House whistleblower stenographer. And again, don't underestimate stenographers. I'm telling you, do it at your own peril. But listen to this first 3 minute introduction, and we'll go from there. Here it is.
But Biden may have known something about Obama that out of his personal life that Obama had to hide. So he makes Biden his vice president. Biden always has this saying about Obama that he told him, I want to be the last guy in the room after everybody leaves when there's a big deal to be done. I want to be the last guy in the room with you. That's probably when Biden told him, OK, you're going to do this with me because I know this. And if you look at Biden,
and what is that thing that Obama's a homosexual?
Yeah, I think that's what he was talking about.
What else would you say about Joe Biden?
Well, he's evil. I mean, he's deeply evil. He's a winning at all costs politician. He had operatives, I think, set up the pandemic in 2020, and that's how they got him in. And he's been hiding behind the scenes ever since. And so he's a guy who has to be watched carefully. He's willing to destroy our country to keep himself as the vice president. I mean, as the president. So 2014 was a really bad year. Biden wants to be president. One of the things that happened was there was a big meeting that he did a trip with Xi Jinping again. At this point in time, Hunter Biden is deep in the pockets of the Chinese Communist Party. December of 2013, Joe goes to Beijing, and I'm on the plane. That was the Air Force Two trip where Joe and Hunter are together. And there's a lot that comes out of that. That's the Bohai Harvest RST deal, where the Biden crime family makes a pile of money off these, basically the Chinese Communist Party affiliated businessmen. But the other thing they did, and I talked about this last time I was on your show, was they started investing in this company called Metabiota. And Metabiota was deeply involved in the Metabiota was a Silicon Valley biotech. They were fancied by the World Economic Forum. Their founder was a guy named Alex Wolf. Wolf was Nathan Wolf. And He was like a golden boy of the World Economic Forum. He was also friends with Ghislaine Maxwell and the Epstein crew. So he had high-level contacts in, you know, the World Economic Forum. He's doing these virus hunts around the world with EcoHealth Alliance and Wuhan Institute of Virology. They go into China and they're digging into the bushes for animals that have virus connections, bats, all these other animals. They did it in Africa and they came up with Ebola. And they were doing viral research on Ebola and bat viruses in 2014. And what pops up out in Western Africa, but Ebola.
All right. That was kind of a summary. That was kind of like the bottom line, the basic bottom line for what I'm about to lay out here. Metabiota. Nathan Wolf is the CEO. It's a San Francisco-based company. Who else is out in San Francisco? If you think about this, and also think, too, about the vice presidential pick by Biden, all right? This is not something that can be easily... It's complicated. It's complex. It's got a lot of tentacles to it. So you're going to have to expand your mind and as well as your own research to follow me on this, because I could perhaps spend 6 hours explaining this, but I think the end finding, the end result, or the conclusion that can be reached, I do believe that this perhaps can fill in some of the blanks and really make sense out of why Biden does not expect, at least in his current mental state, to go anywhere, and why Jill Biden and most assuredly Hunter Biden want to retain the levers of power even today, because there is a lot to hide here. Now think about the Biden family being intertwined with Metabiota, as well as the EcoHealth Alliance and others that presented the framework, along with Fauci and others, for this plandemic. Okay, it gets deep, folks. It gets deep. But okay, so let's just say, from what you just heard, that Joe Biden, as the vice president pick of Obama, who really wanted to be, the script really was to be flipped, where Biden was to be the president and Obama the vice president. But of course, Obama's performance during the DNC, at the DNC convention, really blew that out of the water, because Biden could never rise to that level of verbal acuity. Okay, it just wouldn't happen. Even on his best day, he could not outshine Obama. But let's just bear with me for a minute. Let's just say that Joseph Biden, Robinette Biden, who wanted to be the last person, first person in, last person out of the room with Obama, had something on Obama, knew something about Obama. So Obama accommodated Biden. It's kind of a different flipping of the script than we see today. But let's go on. This is cut two. This is about 8 minutes into the broadcast. Same video, same interview. This is going to be a few, it was what, 3 minutes in length, roughly the same length as before. But listen as he continues his explanation.
First time I flew with Joe Biden on Air Force Two, I walked on the plane and he was dropping an F-bomb as I walked by his cabin. I never heard anybody use an F-bomb on Air Force Two. We were going to Moscow. We get to Moscow and he's in a meeting with Vladimir Putin. This is 2011, March 2011. Vladimir Putin bitch slapped Joe Biden in that meeting. And I wrote about it in that book back there. Joe Biden authorized in 2020 crack up of the Democratic Party. Putin basically lured Biden. Putin's an old KGB guy. He knows his guys have been studying Biden for months, probably. And they set this thing up. They knew all they had to do back in those days to get him to talk and talk and talk at length was to ask him about his grand experience. So Putin starts the interview off saying, you have a lot of experience here in Moscow, because Biden would go there as a senator and work on denuclearization stuff. So that started Joe talking. And right in the middle of one long story, just as he goes, I've been around a long time, Putin shuts off the lights, shuts off his microphone. There's a bunch of television press in there. The television lights are off. And the Russians are yelling, get out, get out. And they get out. And he basically stopped Biden mid-sentence. And Biden didn't say anything like, hey, I wasn't done talking, or hey, what's going on? Hey, I've got this to tell you about. He just clammed up. That's when Putin knew he had Joe Biden right where he needed him. And he's been doing that to him ever since. This Joe Biden bravado is fake. And Putin knows it. Putin saw it for himself. He proved it. And shortly after that, in the summer of 2011, so Biden is beginning this relationship with Xi Jinping in 2011, and they're both vice presidents.
Let's go back for a minute.
Yeah.
So Biden is talking to Putin, turns the lights out. Wow.
And Biden starts lying about it. He starts telling everybody he had this big talk with Putin, and he had a tour of his office. That I see you have no soul. And Putin says, Biden goes, I'm looking in your eyes and I see you have no soul. He's making a sort of comment off of what George Bush said. I looked in his eyes and I saw he's a man with soul. And Putin goes, now we have an understanding. Well, that was Joe Biden's side of it. Putin said he doesn't really remember it. And, you know, so that's what Joe Biden does, is he creates a situation where he can make himself sound really impressive, but there's only two people in the room, and one of them is either dead or untrustworthy. So Biden's
known for constantly making up wild stories.
Yep, exactly. And so that he did that with Putin, and Putin knew it from the start. That's when Putin started working to undermine the Ukraine project that the Obama-Biden people had set up.
All right, with that piece of the video and that interview, doesn't it make sense to you now that you would have the foreign leadership taking or exploiting Biden because of his obtuse nature even back then? And if you go back in history to the Maidan Revolution in Ukraine and the people around Obama, you can attribute a lot of this to Obama, but to send Biden, okay, to Putin, and then to have Putin treat Biden in that fashion, there's got to be some level of compromise. Again, this is not an easy thing to really wrap your mind around, but you're talking about the relationships between foreign leaders, including the leadership of the U.S., and Obama sending Biden out there. And remember Obama saying, or it's being attributed to Obama saying, never underestimate the ability for Joe to F things up, okay? Why would you allow Biden in that position at that time, at that moment in time? Again, when you look at this from a realistic viewpoint, sometimes the simplest answer is the correct answer. Well, you know, I had to. If I was a boss, I had to. Why? Well, there's certain things I really don't want to get out. All right, we're going to go to cut three. This is a continuation. And a little bit more. This is only less than a minute, I believe. But it adds some additional clarity to this. Cut three.
After being roughed up by Putin, Biden goes over and gets roughed up by the Chinese. We're standing in the Great Hall of People. I'm the stenographer. And there's press there. And there's this meeting. And Biden goes on and on. He can't shut up. He won't stop talking. And the Chinese guys are getting pissed off. So then they come over and start shoving us out the room, physically shoving us like a rugby scrum. And later they said, our guy talked for 2.5 minutes. Biden talked for 10 minutes. And it was like, that's why they were pissed off. And the Americans are like, oh, well, he just always talks a lot. That's the old Joe Biden. Joe Biden would never get elected as that guy because he wouldn't shut up and he would talk about stupid things. So in 2020, when he goes to run for president from his basement, he never talks. He doesn't do big speeches. And now what we're seeing is he can't physically talk. He's falling apart.
Does that make sense, Eric the Tech? I mean, help me out here. Do you see where I'm going with this? Does that make sense? I mean, it's the same Joe Biden, the cognitive impaired Joe Biden now, but back then, can you see that happening? And how both the Russian and Chinese leadership could exploit Biden's narcissistic tendencies? Because, if you employed someone like that, you would not necessarily send him in those high-level positions. So does it kind of sort of make sense to you so far?
Yes.
Thank you. And feel free to say I'm full of beans or whatever, but I see something here, and I know where there is smoke, there's fire. And I see a whole lot of smoke and a lot of people getting caught up in a smoke screen. Think again. Think differently. Look at this from maybe just a slightly different perspective and ask yourself, is it possible that at one point, maybe on Biden and Joe Biden, and they know Joe Biden is, look, if Joe knows, Jill knows, and if Jill and Joe know, Hunter knows, I guarantee you all of this. Could this account for some of the brazenness that we're seeing from the Biden camp? And also the fear, this is another thing, the fear of the left of losing control of power, because there is so much to lose based on the past actions of both Obama and Biden. Obama's got to protect his legacy. What's his legacy? Of a statesman. Of a respected, never a scandal, ever. Right? Okay. Let's go to cut four. Again, a short cut, but it adds to it kind of builds a case here. And folks, go to HagmanPI.com or go to band.video. Wherever you can find this video, watch the entire thing. I'm just giving you certain things that caught my attention to make a point here that I think we're in deeper trouble, especially with Biden, than anybody really understands. This is cut four.
But I will tell you this. We used to get the Air Force One passenger manifests. So Obama would fly back and forth to Chicago. And when he flew back and forth to Chicago, very rarely, maybe only less than five times, he would go there all the time because that's where his political office was for reelection. Michelle and the kids never went with him. So he would go back to their home, their house where they were born and grew up without his family. Why would he do that? Michelle Obama was a Chicago girl. She had friends there. She never went back with him. Why was that? And that's what I saw in the Air Force One manifest. So Obama had something going on in Chicago, and the same thing played out on the West Coast. You know, when Obama first met Xi as a president, that was in the June of 2013, there's kind of a question around the meeting. It was out in a place in California called Sunnylands. It's in Palm Springs. And Xi showed up with his wife, but Obama didn't show up with Michelle. And people were asking, why isn't Michelle here? Oh, you know, Xi brought Madam Xi. Why isn't Michelle here? And there was never a good answer. And so she wasn't out there. So there was a lot of times in California trips where Michelle wasn't around. California and Chicago. And I don't know what they were doing, but I have a feeling that there was something going on that was what Joe Biden knew.
But you saw Biden basically say, I got Obama by the short hairs.
That's what my feeling was behind the scenes, yep.
I would pay very close attention to that. Again, never underestimate those people who are recording your words and who are really looked upon as kind of a wallflower or not there. Pay attention to what they observe and they document. And think about, too, to bring it to today, you hear other commentators, people I respect, and I respect their opinion. Michelle Obama would never run on the, would never be a presidential candidate because she hates politics. Is that what she really hates? The politics? Again, I'm asking this question. Does she really hate the politics? Or is there something else here that once that string is pulled, the entire narrative could be unraveled? Why didn't she attend with Obama when Obama traveled to Chicago or when Obama traveled on these domestic trips? Why didn't she accompany Obama? Now, I'll just leave it right there. Let's go into cut five. Again, continuing same conversation. This is cut five from source video one to add to what was already said. And this is, I think, 52 seconds. Here it is.
He's evil. I mean, he's deeply evil. He's a win it at all costs politician. He had operatives, I think, set up the pandemic in 2020. And that's how they got him in. And he's been hiding behind the scenes ever since. And so he's a guy who has to be watched carefully. He's willing to destroy our country to keep himself as the vice president. I mean, as the president.
So you're saying from what you saw, your dead reckoning is Joe Biden was blackmailing Obama with homosexuality?
Yeah, probably. And I think that's why he got so many big assignments. You know, in 2009, I wasn't there this time, but this is what my understanding. He came in and he got the Recovery Act, and he started doing meetings with the cabinet in the cabinet room as though he's like the junior president.
Hold on, stay there.
Think about that. Again, the question would be why. You can have answers provided that you know don't pass the smell test. And to this point, whether it is about Biden's cognitive cognitive problems, like KJP as a press secretary tries to spin and others try to cover, you know it's not the truth. But why would Obama cede power to someone he's got really an animus for, little respect for, but a certain animus for? Why would he give Joe Biden those, do I say plum assignments, but higher level assignments when it wouldn't be called for? Especially in light of Obama's hate, this guy, man, you know, he could really F things up. And by the same token, what that whistleblower just said, I mean, flip that around and think about today's situation in that context. All right, one last clip. This is cut six, and it continues on and gets a little bit deeper. We're going to play this and pause it when prompted to make the final closing argument that, again, maybe, just maybe, we've got a lot of the facts right, but maybe they're not in the proper order. Maybe it's Biden or the Biden cabal that is the accelerator or the, well, maybe he's got it over Obama. Go ahead and continue. This is Cut 6, Hagman PI, in the program notes.
Dub, clearly it's been known that Obama is involved in a bunch of weirdness. He's blackmailed. But you're saying it's been Biden that brought him in day one that's controlling him. I'm going to put the headline out that, you know, White House whistleblower believes Biden has been blackmailing Obama. I'm going to put that out today. So finish up what you got cut off saying.
So that's, you know, when he, that's where, that's why Biden got all these big assignments. Joe did Iraq. Joe went into Afghanistan. And he made the decision on Afghanistan. Joe did the Alliance for Prosperity. We'll talk about that later. Joe did Ukraine. Joe did Putin. He did the reset. All these things, because Joe Biden came in there, he wanted to be the president. He's in the hot seat there. If Obama, God forbid, dropped when he was president, Joe would have been the president. That was his dream come true. So the entire time he was in the White House, he was angling to be the president ahead of Hillary. He wanted to be the candidate in 2016, and he was pushing hard to do that, especially in 2014. And then Beau got sick and he died, and Joe basically backed down from wanting to be president. But his staff wanted him to be president. He wanted to be president, and he was pushing Obama behind the scenes.
And now we're seeing the fact that the whole Democratic Party is saying leave. He won't do it. So you're predicting he stays in.
That's what I'm predicting, yeah. It's going to be a mess. It's a sinking ship, and he's going down with it.
Continue.
Biden in 2014 was a really bad year. Biden wants to be president. One of the things that happened was there was a big meeting that he did a trip with Xi Jinping again. At this point in time, Hunter Biden is deep in the pockets of the Chinese Communist Party. December of 2013, Joe goes to Beijing, and I'm on the plane. That was the Air Force Two trip where Joe and Hunter are together. And there's a lot that comes out of that. That's the Bohai Harvest RST deal, where the Biden crime family makes a pile of money off these basically the Chinese Communist Party affiliated businessmen. But the other thing they did, and I talked about this last time I was on your show, was they started investing in this company called Metabiota. And Metabiota was deeply involved in the Metabiota was a Silicon Valley biotech. They were fancied by the World Economic Forum. Their founder was a guy named Alex Wolf. Wolf was Nathan Wolf. And he was like a golden boy of the World Economic Forum. He was also friends with Ghislaine Maxwell and the Epstein crew. So he had high-level contacts in, you know, the World Economic Forum. He's doing these virus hunts around the world with Eco Health Alliance and Wuhan Institute of Virology. They go into China and they're digging into the bushes for animals that have virus connections, bats, all these other animals. They did it in Africa and they came up with Ebola. And they were doing viral research on Ebola and bat viruses in 2014, and what pops up out in Western Africa, but Ebola. So Metabiota had a laboratory there in Kinema, Sierra Leone. So that's not
Mike far McCormick. From stay Ebola. There. Back in 60 seconds. Yep. Finish your point on the origin of the virus. We'll continue on what's currently happening, what you predict's coming straight ahead. The case to impeach the President Joe Biden. Get the book today.
Let us stand together. Oh, at the cross.
Okay, you can pause that if you don't mind. And if you can, advance it to when he comes back. But the House Oversight Committee published a timeline. And this is where you've got to dig. And perhaps this is one reason why that we see things discussed. We see Congress putting on a great show and attempting to expose things, which is a good thing. But there's never anyone really prosecuted, never, unless you're Stephen K. Bannon or Peter Navarro or somebody from January 6th or a podcaster, broadcaster who talks about these things, then that's a different story, right? But again, attempt to think about this a little bit differently. What am I saying? When you overlay the timeline with the principles like Nathan Wolf, Metabiota, the fact that the plandemic, scandemic, whatever, was planned to coincide with the 2020 election, how all of this played out, the players, the personal enrichment of Joe Biden. If the animus was great with Obama, between Obama and Biden during O'Biden's term, why would, for example, Obama come out, issue disingenuous statements even as recently as 2 days ago backing Joe Biden? It just doesn't make sense. What would make sense is for him to stay quiet as opposed to backing him. There is a reason for that. And I believe the reason is, just as this whistleblower stated, look, there is a blackmail situation going on. If we can, I know that we're up against the clock, but if we can play just about 2 or 3 minutes more of this, because it does explain some of the players here.
And Biden's involvement in the virus. I want you to finish that point and then get to the point of the Joe Biden you see today versus the Joe Biden you saw years ago.
Well, he gets a lot more attention on him now. So, you know, he was always goofy and he always couldn't talk. You talk about a hard job being a stenographer, trying to figure out what that guy was saying. sometimes his sentence would go on for 3 pages. He would just keep changing his mind in the middle of the phrase and add another bit to it or add another story to it. And it was impossible to try to figure out the grammar for that guy. So that was back when he could hit a lot of energy. His energy physically flagged significantly after 2018. Ever since 2020, I've been saying he's half man he was when he was in the White House and I worked for him. He's half man he was when he started this campaign. He started the presidency in 2020. And I used to work with Doc O'Connor, his doctor. He was always a nice guy to me, but Dr. O'Connor is not doing his job for the presidency. He's aligned himself significantly with the patient, his personal patient, but he's not paid by the patient. He's paid by the taxpayers. So what is his job? Isn't he supposed to go and be the doctor of the presidency and not just Joe Biden's doctor? Because we, the taxpayers, are wondering, why do we have a guy who can't walk up and down stairs so close to in control of the nuclear codes, and his doctor keeps telling us he's fine. He's okay, but he's not great, and he's not looking like he doesn't have the energy or the competence to be able to do us a rigorous campaign for the fall. He's not going to be out there campaigning 3 events in a day. He can't go to can't travel overseas back and forth and then do 3 events or 4 events in a day. He used to be able to do that. He can't do that anymore.
Okay, you can cut it right there. The point is, there is a reason for everything that is happening that we're seeing today, but maybe we need to refocus on certain details and look at this from a different perspective. That's what I would like you to take a look at, folks. Watch that entire interview and leave your comments in the Rumble section. I ask you to do that. Leave your thoughts. I'm just presenting to you a hypothesis. But perhaps, just perhaps, there's a hell of a lot more to this than what others are saying, and a lot more at stake. Folks, I hope I did okay in my explanation. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. May God bless each and every one of you. Stay safe and have a good day.